Well, in the easy-to-read version of Romans chapter 7, I'm going to teach and talk through the New King James as we move through the text. I wanted to sort of introduce these six verses. We haven't been in Romans for over a month. And so it says this in chapter 7, verse 1, "My Christian friends, you know about laws. You know that we have to obey them. The laws have authority over someone while they're still alive. So think about this. A woman who has a husband must stay with him as long as he still lives. That is what the law says. But if her husband dies, she becomes free from that law about her husband. And while her husband is alive, the law has authority over her. If she goes to live with another man, the law says that she's done something wrong. But if her husband dies, she becomes free from that law. If she then marries another man, she will not be doing anything wrong. My friends, it's like that for you too. When Christ's body died on the cross, you were united with him. It is like you've died so that you are no longer under the authority of Moses' laws. Now you are free to belong to someone else. You belong to Christ, whom God raised up after his death. As a result, we can live in a good way that will make God happy. In our old lives, we did bad things that we wanted to do. Moses' laws brought bad thoughts into our minds. As a result, our bodies did many wrong things. In the end, those bad things lead to death. But now, we become free from the law that God gave to Moses. That law no longer has authority over us because we have died. We do not still try to obey rules that someone has written down. That is not how we serve God. Instead, we serve God in a new way. God's Spirit helps us to please Him." I like to sometimes read loose translations of a text because it sort of introduces the subject matter. And as we think about this idea, we really need to zero in on verse 6. It's kind of the theme of this study today, that we have been become free from the law of Moses, that we are made new and meant to live in the Spirit, not in the flesh, and not according to rules, but according to relationship, to sort of summarize that thought. You know, holding that idea there over the years in Killeen, we've lived in Killeen for, man, how many years has it been now? Since 2004, 5, 3? No, well, we moved to Cove in 2003, but we lived in our home and been around the city since, you know, almost 20 years. It's been a long time. And over the years, the reason why I'm telling you this is because we've noticed that, you know, there's always businesses that kind of start in random places, and you watch people put a ton of money into a business, and then, it, you know, it's really kind of hyped up, and then in Killeen, you just sort of go, well, it's on its way out. As it's, even as it's opening, you're kind of saying to yourself, uh-oh. And then you see a sign that says, under new management. And then what's interesting about living in Killeen over these years, you watch that happen and you go, oh, it's just going to happen again. And it goes out of business. And then you see another sign that says, under new management, you know. And you get the idea. And maybe this happens in a lot of cities, but I've noticed it a little bit more here in Killeen. And I think it's just because people are trying to do the same thing in the same place with no real changes. You know, many times businesses need a new owner, not necessarily a new manager. And today, as we talk about this text, the big picture is this, is that because we are now Christ's kids, we are now saved, we're under a new ownership, and we're managed a different way than we were in the past. To put it simply, I want you to understand that even in the Old Testament, the laws were put there to show us, to cause us to look at our own lives and say, Lord, save me. Have mercy on me. We were to put our faith in the Lord and His ability to forgive. And over time, people again took the law to think that maybe that means that, you know, we're changed by following all these rules. But the Bible teaches that we're changed from the inside out. And of course, Jesus lived the law perfectly. And by trusting Him, our imperfect life is covered with His perfect life. And we're actually changed by trusting Christ, and He makes us different from the inside out. You know, all of that to say, when it comes to under new management, you can sort of think about that sign. When it comes to people, God doesn't want us to settle for more religious rules. He doesn't want us to be a Christian that's just expanding their list of do's and don'ts. See, Paul was writing to the Roman believers, wanting them to understand that God is wanting them to have a personal spiritual relationship with Him, and everything that they do in their life flows from that relationship. Their victory over sin, their development as believers, all comes from their personal connection to Christ. It's not about following a whole bunch of do's and don'ts. Let me put it to you another way. Sometimes when we connect with the Lord, He shows us what we should do, what we shouldn't do. He speaks to us through His Word, and we're inspired to want to live for the Lord, rather than just a whole bunch of external things that say, don't do this, don't do that. The Christian life is meant to be a relationship. And ultimately, we are called to be managed a whole new different way because we're under a whole new type of ownership. This idea that we're studying today really echoes chapter 7 as Paul talks about the struggle that we all have with sin. By the way, this is the chapter where Paul says, "O wretched man that I am." Now, I don't know about you, but that's one of my favorite verses. You know why? Because the most spiritual guy that did the most work as a Christian said he was a wretched sinner. Isn't that awesome? You know, I'd always be bummed out if Paul was just like, you know, I'm so good and I do everything perfect. But he says, "O wretched man that I am, who can save me? Only Jesus." But again, the first part of us getting to a place of victory that we're going to learn a lot about in chapter 8, having victory over our sinful struggles and growing and living out the gospel, is realizing that we are under new ownership as followers of Christ. Look, pause and consider this. We're meant to live differently in our life with Christ than we did before. And for the people that Paul's writing to, they were under Jewish law and subjected to all kinds of rules and regulations. And then they came to Christ and they were under grace. And their tendency, pay attention, don't miss this, their tendency was to turn the Christian life into a whole bunch of do's and don'ts instead of just being under grace. So Paul wrote in chapter 6, hey, look, being under grace doesn't mean you can just do whatever you want. You're inspired to want to live more for the Lord when you experience His love and His favor. You might say, well, wait a minute, if Paul's writing to Jewish Christians, then why do I need to be here? Because I'm not a Jewish Christian. I'm just a Gentile. I didn't know anything about God's law and I came to Christ. Look, listen, there's a big time tendency for us as Christians, when we come into the Christian life, we're enjoying grace, but then to actually turn the Christian life into a bunch of rules and checklists and things that we go through that identifies our relationship with God instead of really having a relationship with God. It's kind of the idea of going through the motions, going through the form without the foundation. Maybe you understand where I'm going with this. So this message is for all of us as believers. And ultimately, I heard someone say this. His name was John Blanchard. He's a Bible teacher. He said, becoming a Christian is not making a new start in life. It's receiving a new life to start with. Today, Paul begins this new chapter dealing with this struggle against sin with a reminder that we are under new management. Is your life under new management? Have you trusted Christ and become His kid and now there's a different way of doing life and seeing things? Are you under new management? This should be a question that we know the answer to, but we need to move away from the past, move into walking with the Lord day by day. To be more precise, this is an entirely new person to manage. You know, whenever we come to the Lord, we're changed. And, you know, Paul basically says this, that part of coming to the Lord is putting our old life aside and living out this new life. In Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. So as Christians, put yourself in those words, I've been crucified with Christ. I've been put to death, but then raised to new life. You know, this is what symbolized this baptism, is that you're buried and then brought up into new life. It's the symbolism behind baptism. But again, being under grace is entirely different from being under law. And remember, we haven't studied Romans for a while, but back in chapter 6, Paul talked about, hey, you're no longer under the law, you're under grace. And Paul had to go a lot of different directions to deal with the wrong ideas of grace, because he asked two questions, remember, in chapter 6, where he said, hey, if grace is, you know, something we just receive, then can't we just do whatever we want? Can't we just live in habitual sin? Can't we just live, occasionally we splurge in sin and it's no big deal and who cares? No, Paul was trying to say that, look, grace motivates you to live a life that honors God even more than a bunch of external rules and regulations. And so being under grace is entirely different from being under law. Paul wanted to help Roman believers to live a new spiritual life and grow in an intimate, wholehearted relationship with the Lord. We're meant to be different. That's why he told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:17, maybe you've heard this verse before, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new." Now, I want to pause for a second to get you to understand something. When you come to Christ, you've still got your old nature, you've still got your baggage, you've still got your past. But as you walk with the Lord, those things dissipate and your new life in Christ takes precedence. For homework, I want you guys to read Galatians chapter 5, because Paul talks very clearly there. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If you starve the flesh, not to say you shouldn't eat, but if you starve the flesh by not giving in to sinful ways and choose, in other words, to do the spiritual things, your spirit will thrive and your flesh will go to the wayside. It won't completely disappear, but it will dissipate. This is what happens and what many of us experienced when we became Christians. We started walking with the Lord and there were things that we used to do that we didn't do because there were sinful habits that we felt convicted about. And people around us started saying, "What's wrong with you? Why aren't you responding the way you used to? Or why are you doing this differently? Or why are you not reacting and, you know, going off on this person?" Well, it's because Jesus is changing me. And I want to honor him in that. And it kind of throws people off. But it's not a change that someone told you in a church building, "Hey, well, you got to act this way if you're a Christian." It's just something that naturally happens as you walk with the Lord. So Paul talks about this idea in Galatians chapter 5. And as we think about this title, Under New Management, we really come to two things that Paul shows us here today in verses 1 through 6. There's two basic foundational things that he tells us here that should help us move from sin's control of our lives. Listen, number one, we're dead to the law in verses 1 through 3. And number two, we're delivered from the law in verses 4 through 6. Now, there's a whole lot to this, and I'll explain a lot more as we move through this, but the one thing we have to understand is that we're no longer called to look at our Christian life or a life with God as a whole bunch of do's and don'ts. It's, "Lord, I love you. Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to follow you." There's motivation from within. Remember what Romans is all about? It's all about the gospel being explained and sort of laid out. You know, we've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that tell the story of Jesus' life, but then Romans explains why the good news is actually something that we need to pay attention to, something we need to understand, and that's why it breaks down into those four parts. We talked about this. Paul spent the first part of Romans talking about how we're all under the wrath of God. We're all lost, sinful people that have earned wrath from God. But then God shows us his grace. That's what we're talking about in this section from chapter 3 toward the end to chapter 8. We need God's grace more than anything. So that then, later on down the road, we can, by trusting Christ, know his plan that he has for us, his purpose in our lives there in chapters 9 through 11. And then also understand his will in chapters 12 through 16, how we can walk with the Lord and know his specific will for our life. But now we find ourselves in that place of grace. And here in this chapter, not only does Paul talk about the struggle that we have with sin, I think for most people, this chapter resonates a lot. Because don't we all struggle at times with sin? Like, let me be specific. We get impatient with our spouse. We get frustrated by our kids. We get irritated by people that we work with. We get upset for things that people have done to us, that we want to reciprocate bad things. There's just so many ways that sin is there in our lives. And if we give too much focus on it, we can end up kind of going down that old sinful path instead of the new way that the Lord would have us to go. Look, pause for a second. I want you to understand something. Everyone struggles with sin, but the ones that have victory are those that don't depend upon themselves. They're those that depend upon the power of God. And understand that we don't get better by focusing on our sin. Things like, "I'm not going to have this attitude with my spouse today. I'm not going to have this attitude with my kids. I'm not going to give my boss a hard time." We sort of, you know, muster up enough self-will to change the way we live. Look, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is, "Lord, I love you. I want to follow you. I need your strength, your help. Change me from the inside out." And it's a steady, slow walk with the Lord. And then he gives us the ability to not be railroaded by our sin nature all the time. Well, again, as we get to this section of grace, remember it started out by talking about how we receive God's grace through the substitutionary death of Jesus. In other words, he took our place. He gives us eternal life when we trust him. He got what we deserve by suffering on the cross. But now, when we move into this other part, chapters 6 through 8, we're talking about how we identify with Christ and how his grace plays out in our lives, how we struggle with sin, how we can have victory over sin is really what chapter 8 talks about. But for a while, we're going to spend looking at chapter 7, discussing the ongoing struggle that we as believers have with sin. I think the key point to realize is that all of us as believers have a new nature. We have the Holy Spirit within us, yet we still have the old nature alive and well. And we're all capable of, no matter how long we've been a Christian, falling into areas of sin that maybe have not been a struggle for years if we put our guard down and just say, I don't really need to focus on spiritual things. We have a propensity to fall back into old behaviors and old things. So we have to move forward with the Lord. That could be a bumper sticker, moving forward with the Lord. It needs to be a motto for us, move forward with the Lord and grow in relating to him and listening to him, learning from him, serving him, but just knowing ultimately his great love motivates all of this. Again, the first thing here that we learned today that being under new management means, it means that we're dead to the law. That's the idea with this illustration in chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. So look with me there in the New King James. As I read this from the text that we're going to be sort of taking apart here, we start in verse 1 where Paul says, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while the husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man." So, a lot of times when people come to Romans chapter 7 and they start out, they go, "Oh, this is a whole teaching on marriage and divorce." Understand something very clear. That's not Paul's purpose in bringing up this illustration. What he's trying to talk about is the correlation between being married to a spouse and having certain obligations there and being married to the law, and when we died with Christ, we were released from that obligation. Here's the idea. Because we have Jesus in our lives, we're not under the law, but under his loving grace. His love comes into our hearts, goes through our lives, and Paul's point is really being us being occupied with Jesus and what he made possible, how great God is, being a part of his work, not preoccupied with works to please God and efforts to earn his favor or to earn his acceptance. Paul uses marriage to illustrate our relationship to the law. When a spouse dies, the law of marriage no longer applies because we've died with Christ. The law can no longer condemn us. If you jump ahead and sort of take note, read Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." So in Christ, we've been released from the obligation of the law. And really what Paul is ultimately saying here is he's telling us that we're dead to the law and free from its powerful pull. We don't have to be under the law anymore. We're not meant to live that way. We're meant to be under new management. The Christian life is meant to be a spiritual journey, not a life that's lived in strife and in trying to do this and trying to make God happy with us. Look, we can never do anything that's going to make God happy with us. He wants us just to soak up His grace and walk with Him. And as we soak up His love and grace, you know what happens? We actually become more like the Lord. And He changes us from the inside out. I always like to think about it this way. How many times have you told your child or a friend something that is a piece of advice that would revolutionize their life? And you told them and you told them and you told them, and you sort of get the Heisman, you know? You sort of get the in one ear, out the other, they don't hear. But then one day, a light bulb goes on, and they go, "Look what I realized." And you go, "Well, I've been telling you that for years. You don't remember?" "No." "Why not?" Well, because they had to come to that realization themselves from the inside. So much of the Old Testament life was spent trying to be changed from the outside in instead of from the inside out. And this is something that Paul wants to communicate, that, hey, don't get caught up in that old way and that old direction. It's meant to be different. Paul's intention, again, wasn't to talk about marriage and divorce. He wanted to communicate that because of us being found with Christ, buried with Christ, crucified with Christ, we've died with Christ, we've been raised to new life. We've been released from the powerful pull of the law, and we don't have to live under it. You know, one of the things that I thought was interesting was a way of understanding this idea. Because as we see the illustration of a spouse dying, you're released from the obligations of that marriage and you're free to marry another. When we're released from the obligations of the law, we're dead to the law. Paul makes that statement next in verse 4, and I'll read that. But it's one of those things to realize, and I heard a great illustration by one Bible teacher that he says, you know, let's say that, you know, you're a person that you're leaving church and you decide you need to drive really fast to get to wherever you're going. And as you're driving, you get a ticket. And you end up driving really fast in a really slow area. Most of us know that's not a good idea because you end up getting a really big ticket. You got to do a lot of defensive driving, and that's just torture in and of itself. So, you know, you don't want to drive fast in a slow zone. And so he makes this illustration. He says that as you get the ticket from the police officer, before you have time to even deal with the ticket, before next week's service, you end up dying, and everybody's at your funeral, and they're there that day, and you're in the casket, and everybody's coming to say their goodbyes to, you know, hey, we'll see you later in heaven kind of thing. And the person, the cop that wrote you the ticket, shows up and says, "Hey, you got this ticket you got to pay for." Well, that doesn't make any sense, because death absolves you from the responsibility of that ticket. Another idea that pops into my head as I thought about that illustration is, you know, we've seen all kinds of people that have committed terrible crimes, and before they're able to be prosecuted and punished, they die. And that's always a bad thing. But the idea is that death absolves you from the responsibility. And so because of our death in Christ, we have been absolved from trying to keep the law, because Jesus lived it for us. Jesus came and He said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill." Simple terms, Jesus said, "I came to do everything perfect so that when you trust Me, My perfect life covers your completely imperfect, out of whack, discombobulated life." And the more that we come back to that, I think the more likely it is that we don't try to do things to earn God's favor, that we don't get caught up in rules and regulations and checklists, but we say, "Lord, You love me. And You don't love me because I pray this much or because I read this much," although we should talk to the Lord and we should read the Word. None of those things earn us any kind of favor with God. He loves us the same. We're under grace, not under law. See, Paul was concerned about first century Christians, especially the Roman Christians, turning the Christian life into a bunch of legalistic rules and regulations instead of it being about walking with the Lord. Instead of it being about knowing the grace and the mercy and the love of God. We died in Christ. We identify with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Just as Jesus died, He died for all who believe in Him. And if you trust Christ, His death means your relationship, our relationship to the law, is over. And that's the idea that Paul's making here. Our identification, our identity is wrapped up in who we believe in, Jesus. He uses this illustration. He even talks about here how the law has dominion. You know, this dominion that the law has over us. We're going to see later in this chapter that because of the law being there, we even did more bad things because God said not to. Some of us know this is a universal truth. If you put up a sign that says, don't do this, people will do those things just because you put up a sign. And that's exactly what Paul talks about even further within this chapter. We'll come back to that idea. But the law, we're not to live under it. We are dead to the law. And this is the illustration. This is why he talks about marriage, to illustrate that we are dead to the law. Death brings a release. Again, remember, this is what baptism symbolizes. We need to remember that our old life needs to stay dead and buried, so we focus on the new life. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 5. Paul said some pretty powerful stuff. He said, Colossians 3, 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He told the Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, he said, put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Listen, let me put it to you simply. We're not meant to be ruled by our dead, stinky, corrupt old nature. The more ground we give to our sinful side, the more it will rule. We have to be careful not to turn our Christian walk into a new way to earn favor with God, but a new life that needs to be fed and blossomed. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fall into the habits and old life of the flesh. What is walking in the Spirit? You know, pause and consider. This was the very first question I asked my pastor. As a new Christian, I said, hey bro, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? I don't get it. And, you know, he made a couple jokes and kind of talked about a certain walk. And he's like, no, I'm just kidding. Walking in the Spirit, it means to exercise your spiritual being. So what are spiritual activities? Well, talking to the Lord is a spiritual activity. It's called prayer. Reading your Bible is a spiritual meal. And man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Many times, doing things for the Lord, using our hands to serve and to be a part of what's going on around us in the body of Christ, that's a way to walk in the Spirit. But then also, sometimes as a result of those things, and it's also something we choose to do, sharing what we learned about God with those who don't know God is a spiritual activity and helps us grow as well. So sometimes we don't walk in the Spirit and our flesh begins to take over and we sort of default back to the old nature and we don't really make any progress. This is one of the reasons why as a church we're always encouraging people, don't just sit in a chair, but be a part of what God is doing. Now, that could be participating in what we do as a fellowship on Sundays or during the week, but it could also be just serving the Lord in some capacity around your home and your neighborhood and with your coworkers. There's just so many different ways to be a part of what God's doing, and He wants us to connect with that. Walking in the Spirit, pursuing that spiritual life, that it would be fed, that it would be blossomed. And let me just say, sometimes some of us are called to be in a certain place with certain people. And it's not necessarily the best place, but it's where God has called us to be. And sometimes we have to learn to operate and walk spiritually even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of something that's not ideal. But God wants to help us grow. He wants to help us learn to live in the Spirit. Because a lot of times we say, well, you know, if I just had a better environment, if I just had more Christians around me, and sometimes that's not necessarily what we need. We need to pursue and grow spiritually and put away our old man, put away our old ways and say, Lord, change me. Help me just to move in this direction towards you. Be fixated, focused, attentive to who he is. Again, under new management means being dead to the law. We're not meant to live under a set of rules and regulations in order for God to accept us or acknowledge us. He gives us his grace. But secondly, being under new management means also that we've been delivered from the law. I love this. I want you to notice verses 4 through 6. As we continue our text here, he says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now, we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Serving in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Verse 6 is really kind of this pinnacle statement about what Paul's talking about throughout this chapter. And to put it simply, when it comes to being delivered from the law, because we have Jesus in our lives, we've been delivered from all of the outward righteous requirements of the law because of the inward change of our hearts and spirit. We've been delivered from the law and are now called to bear fruit to God. Pause and consider, before we knew Jesus, before we were spiritually alive, our lives produced stinky fruit that led to death. The things that came out of our lives, we could really sum it up this way. There was just a whole lot of bad ideas before I knew Jesus. Some of which resulted in really hard consequences, others minor. But either way, I bore fruit unto death. But now, as Christians, we're under new management. We're meant to bear fruit unto God through the Spirit, through being regenerated, through being changed. Now, I want you to notice in verse 6, because we're sort of jumping ahead to verse 6, but notice that word delivered. You know, this word means to be discharged, to be severed. And Paul's overall point is that in Christ, we've been discharged from the requirements of the law, severed from its septic shock to the soul. We've been discharged from the requirements of the law, severed from its septic shock to the soul. Our death with Jesus sets us free from the law. We've been delivered. We no longer have to look at the law and go, God, I'm so unworthy. Pause and understand. Remember, in Galatians, Paul says, the law was our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith and not by the works of the law. Tutor, or even in other places, this idea of a moral mirror, the standard of God, shows us how complete we're just a bunch of lying, cheating, wrong-thinking people. And when we look at the law, we should say, Lord, forgive me. But it was meant to lead us to God's mercy, for us to lean upon who He is. We no longer have to look at how we fall short, because we're meant to have our eyes on Christ and say, I'm only here because of Jesus. Keep in mind, all the cults of the world, all the religions of the world, say you can live good enough if you try hard enough to make your way into heaven or to have a better afterlife. It's all based on your effort. Whereas the Bible is so painfully clear that we could never do it good enough to be perfect in the eyes of a holy God. We've been delivered from that. So now we're not meant to look and say, Lord, I fall short. Now we're meant to say, Jesus, you made me whole. You've changed my life. You've brought me into this relationship with my Creator, with you. And now my life is meant to not be changed from the outside in, but from the inside out. Paul makes it clear in verse 4, you have also become dead to the law through the body of Christ. So Paul is carefully explaining that we died with Jesus, we rose with Jesus, and ultimately, as a result, we've died to the law. We're not meant to live by law, but live by grace. I love that phrase, and you can underline this, that you may be married to another. Think about it this way. We were married to the law, but when we died, now we're married to Christ. We're bound to Jesus. And it's that relationship that takes us from the place of being under the law with the law's accusing finger. We're no longer under that place of guilt and shame. I want to pause for a second and just say this. Look, if you're in a place where you're living under guilt and shame, there may be something that you need to talk to the Lord about, but ultimately, condemnation is not from God. Conviction is what happens. Conviction is where God shows us that we've messed up and motivates us to move in a different direction. And the truth of the matter is, you could be a Christian for a really long time and you're going to get convicted every day. So no one just escapes conviction. There's always some way. I mean, you know, just the other day, I just sort of an attitude maybe I had at home with my wife, and the Lord just told me, just you know, you need to be more loving. And I said, you're right, Lord. And so I just went and said something to my wife. Now, I'm being candid about that because I want you guys to understand that a lot of conviction is a good thing. It's what you do with it. Condemnation is, you know, the enemy comes along to me and says, oh, you're an idiot. You're a pastor. What's wrong with you? Just give up now. Retire and go to the Bahamas. Something along those lines. That's condemnation. The enemy always condemns us to quit, but God convicts us to change. So here, Paul says, hey, we're not under the law. We've been delivered from it through Jesus becoming a curse for us. It tells us in Galatians 3 that we were redeemed from the curse of the law. Because Jesus became a curse for us. Jesus took what we deserved. By trusting Him, we're delivered from the law. This was something that Jewish Christians needed to be reminded of, and it's something that Gentile Christians needed to keep in focus, and as a whole, as a church, stay going in the right direction. You know what's happened over the years, over church history? People have identified, hey, if you're really spiritual, you're going to do this. If you're a real Christian, you're going to fast 3 times a week. If you're a really spiritual person, then you're going to pray this way. You're going to dress this way. You're going to act this way. And see, all of those things are what happens when you get your eyes off of the grace of God and onto some sort of list of checklist things, and you start looking at other people going, you're not as spiritual as me. And pretty soon there's pride, and then there's sort of cliques that develop in the body of Christ where, let's just be honest, whenever we all just recognize we're sinners and we're just basking in God's grace and love, we all just sort of accept each other and say, you know what? We're all a bunch of idiots. But we love Jesus. I would be honest to say that I'm more of an idiot than anybody else. But the truth is, it causes us to have our focus in the right place, not to base some sort of self-worth off of, well, you know, I don't do this and I don't do that. You know, sometimes we can be tempted. The enemy is very subtle. He'll convince us, oh yeah, you know, well, you don't do this and you don't do that, so you're better than these people. But you know what we need to do? We need to keep in mind, there's a whole bunch of other things that nobody knows anything about that go through my mind that totally disqualify me from ever thinking I'm better than anyone else. See, Paul knew that unless Christians kept their focus on what matters, they would get caught up in all this mess. That's why he goes on in verse 5, it says, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. There's all kinds of bad things that happen when we turn our Christian life into a set of rules and regulations. We bear fruit to death. It's really to be in the flesh. By the way, Paul wrote to the Galatians, he rebuked them. He said, look, what God began in you in the Spirit, now you're trying to accomplish in the strength of your own abilities and in your flesh. Why did Paul say that? The reason why Paul said that to the Galatians is because they were starting to say, okay, well, trust Christ, but you have to follow all these rules and do all this. they started out good, but then they got caught up in, well, we got to do this and we got to do that. You know what the best thing we can do for someone that we think has an issue of sin in their life? Is not, at times there's things we have to warn people about because they could be in danger of self-destruction. So there's kind of a common sense thing. But most of the time when we see something that needs to change in a person's life, we need to say, hey, connect with the Lord and ask Him about this. And what is, tell me what He says. See, because connecting with Christ causes us to consider those things and change, and that's a better way to deal with things altogether. Well, listen, he goes on. In verse 6, I love this verse. There's a lot of transitional phrases in the New Testament, but one way you can always see a contrast is the word but. So we're not under the law, we're dead to the law, we're delivered from the law. We're meant to serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. You know, the way that I interpret that, the way that I think Paul is talking about is that we're meant to serve from the inside out, not from the outside in. We're not meant to be people that say, I'm going to follow this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Be careful, Christian, because a lot of times you can say, I'm going to muster up this and I'm going to muster up that, and it only leads to failure. When we need to say, Lord, motivate me. I heard someone say something when I was a new Christian that has always stuck with me. And they were talking about just how they did devotions, and that's one of those things that we all kind of differ in ways. We read differently, we process things differently. As people, we're all unique. But they said this phrase, they and it's always stuck with me. They were talking, it was some men's group or whatever, and they said, this guy said, I just pray, Lord, give me the desire to be in your word. Give me the desire to hear from you, instead of just forcing himself to do it. So he would still choose to do that, but then ask God, develop in me a hunger, a greater hunger, a greater desire. And I've always remembered that. Because at the time, as a very zealous new Christian, I'll be honest with you guys, I heard him say that and I go, what's wrong with this guy? Does he love Jesus or what? Only to realize later that there was a lot of wisdom in what he said. And then I was the doofus newbie that didn't understand what I was talking about. So yeah, Lord, stir me up. Newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. In essence, Paul's saying, don't turn the Christian life and this awesome relationship, this access, because the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, into something that looks like Old Testament rituals and routines, when there's this whole different category of relating to God. It's a whole different experience. Being under new management means we're not to look at the Christian life, Christian living, as a work to feel obligated or burdened by, but listen, as an exercise of our spirit and allowing the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. One way I like to think about this under new management, it's kind of related to military service. We've all been discharged from the flesh army. We've all been discharged, and we're meant to do things differently with different protocols and different focus, different understanding than we did in the flesh. But a lot of times we don't consider our old ways all that bad. I mean, aren't we tempted at times to think, oh yeah, I used to handle this way. And I think, honestly, we have to have a healthy fear that, Lord, help me not to do that. Some of us, it's easier than others. Some of us were maybe violent people in the past. So, well, that's not on the table, Lord. Some of us, it's just an attitude. It's just a response, you know, but you get the idea. We've been discharged. We're meant to go in a different direction, a new way. Grace is our focus now, not law. Walking according to the Spirit, having the mind of the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that God desires to fill us and empower us with. He wants to inspire us, encourage us from the inside out. And even though we struggle with sin and we have ups and downs, backwards and forwards, if we give the spiritual focus the preeminence, the focus, the give it the main platform in our lives, we'll make progress. Those things will dissipate. I've seen this firsthand. You know, one thing that stands out to me was the guy I went to speak for last week, Pastor Bungie. When I first got saved, I've known him 30 years now. I told his church, I go, I've known him 30 years and I'm still here, so there's hope. I'm just kidding. But I said, you know, Bungie's a funny guy. And I said, I knew him when I was a kid. And after, you know, when I first met him, you know, he's one of these guys that whenever the kid, people would mess with the skateboard kids because he worked at the skate shop downtown Austin, you just tell Bungie, he would just go beat them up. Like, he was like our personal hitman. Like, that you know, football player guy from UT was messing with us, and Bungie's like, let's get him, you know. And he was crazy like that, and it was bad, but, you know, he took care of us that way. And it was like the mafia or something, you know. I was like, tell this guy, he goes and takes care of him. And he didn't kill him or anything, but he definitely hurt people. And, you know, he was just one of those guys that you just didn't say anything wrong to him. And so you always had to walk on eggshells around him. But when he got saved, this is what blew me away after I became a Christian and we started going out witnessing. Out of nowhere, some crazy person, which I guess isn't out of nowhere in Austin because they're just everywhere there, but would come up to him and start yelling at him. And I'm standing there in amazement. I'm going, dude, you're lucky to be alive. But he was just calm. And I started to see that his old ways had dissipated from his life. And it was a testimony to me that there is a new life in Christ. There is change. And, you know, I remember walking away from one of those instances. And not only did the person yell at him, but Bungie had just gotten married to Brenda. And that guy was insulting his wife. And I thought, man, this guy's really asking for it. You know, but Bungie was like, oh, you know, let's just leave, let's go, you know, and he's real calm and just totally calm. And I thought, man, what a miracle of God. When we walk in the Spirit, there's things that dissipate in our lives that are old ways because we're under new management, we're dead to the law, we're delivered from the law, and next week we're going to learn even more from the Apostle Paul along these lines.